Our scripture this evening is from Joel 2, verses 1 through 2 and 12 through 17. Blow the trumpet in Zion, say, mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming near. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes, there like has never been from of old, nor will it be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from punishment. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Consecrate the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent. In the next 40 days, some amazing transformations will occur. Or not. The prophet is coming. But a survey of predictions reveals that some seers get it wrong in a big way. Do you remember the Mayan apocalypse? The world will end on December 21st, 2012. 14 years ago. 13. Guess what? Didn't happen. Science fiction author Ray Bradbury predicted that in the early 21st century, Mars will be colonized, stating we would have to colonize Mars because of a global nuclear war. Thankfully, that did not come to pass. Or how about by the year 2000, we'll abolish war? That was the prediction of an essayist in the Atlantic magazine at the start of the 20th century. It also anticipated that the poor would be living in high-rise abodes of happiness and health. And around the same time, the Ladies' Home Journal predicted that all mice and rats would soon be eliminated, along with the letters C, X, and Q. One of my favorites, though, was from 2006, which is just 20 years ago, which seems absolutely ridiculous today. This was the actual prediction. Apple is not interested in cell phones. In 2006, David Pogue wrote in the New York Times that Apple would probably never come out with a cell phone. Soon afterwards, Apple produced the iPhone, which no one could doubt has had a rather significant impact on the world. Many of us want our lives to change, But our desires are often dashed. We dream, we hope, and we predict that the future will be different for us, with mixed results. I mean, I mentioned some pretty amazing predictions: the end of the world, the colonization of Mars, abolishment of war. None of them have happened. Mice and rats are still with us, and we continue to use the letters XE. Only the iPhone, which would probably never be introduced, has proved to be transformational. Well, with so many failed predictions, what do we do with Joel's prediction that the day of the Lord is coming, it is near? This prophet of ancient Israel called for national repentance, warning that a great locust plague was a sign of the beginning of the judgment of God. In ancient Israel, Joel looked around, and he saw a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Locusts were covering the land like blackness spread upon the mountains. And those devouring insects were like a great and powerful army. And Joel predicted that their like has never been from old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. In ancient Israel, the day of the Lord was preceded by locusts. But the specific nature of the plague was not what mattered. I mean, the national disaster could have been caused by frogs or gnats or flies or boils or hail or a river flowing with blood, whatever that would get the attention of the people. I mean, today we might get hit hard by a flood, a tsunami, a tornado, a drought, a power outage, a computer virus, or a Wall Street crash. What mattered to Joel was that the people respond with repentance and prayer. And the very same thing is true today. The power of the day of the Lord is that it grabs our attention and it offers us that possibility of transformation. As we enter the season of Lent, let's shift our focus from the outside to the inside and begin to look at inner changes instead of outer changes. And we can do this by following the guidance of Joel, who predicts that our lives will be transformed when we make the choice to return, learn, gather, and pray. This is a day to pray. First, we return to the Lord, who says, "Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." To return to God is to repent, to turn around and go in a new and opposite direction. When we repent, we turn to the path that God has laid out for us so that we are living a life that is different than before. When we repent, we fight against evil and turn away from what is worst in our natures. We return to God and turn toward what is good, toward what is best in our natures. This fight against evil feels like a war, but with God's help, we can win it. And after returning, we learn. We learn about the nature of our God, one who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And today there's a lot of confusion about the nature of God. In the Bible, both Moses and Joel discover that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. In fact, these are the words that are used to describe God After the people of Israel sin by making the golden calf, and Moses becomes angry and breaks the tablets containing the Ten Commandments. But Exodus reveals that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Merciful and gracious, not wrathful. Slow to anger, not harsh in word and attitude. Abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Always working for good in our lives. On the day of the Lord, we return to God in repentance, and we learn about the Lord's true nature. And then we gather as God's people, knowing that a transformed life must be lived in community. Blow the trumpet in Zion, says Joel. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the children, even infants at the breast. We are created for community. That's why it's so important for us to be present together in worship and ministry. Each of us is made in the image of the God who is, in God's own self, a sacred community made up of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier. And finally, after returning and learning and gathering in community, we pray. Between the vestibule and the altar, Joel calls for the ministers to pray. Spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Such a prayer is called intercession, asking God to act in the lives of others. And in this passage from Joel, the ministers are asking God to save the people. But other prayers of intercession can request healing and strength, peace, or help. And at the end of the day, we are supposed to pray. We pray for ourselves and others, asking for God to heal us and to help us so that we can lead peaceable lives and come to the knowledge of God's truth. Instead of feeling dismay, we pray. Pray for God to transform us into the people that God wants us to be. So let's begin the season of Lent by embracing Joel's prediction that the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. If this day motivates us to learn, return, gather, and pray, it will be a good prediction, one that leads to real transformation, to real change for the better. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.